Hi, New Year's Eve, 2020, and this is Tim Maher with Failing Up. This is my second podcast for Failing Up, the program where we explore creativity, conflict, and crisis, and how that impacts organizations, individuals, cultures, and countries. We're coming right off I would say that everyone here who is able to listen to this podcast or has chosen to listen to this podcast is either extremely bored or curious, and I appreciate that. Coming to you from the basements on the bank of the Seneca River leading up to the mighty Lake Ontario, which pours out into the St. Lawrence Seaway, which then again empties into the Atlantic Ocean, going out into the entire world. So right down the street, I can hop a sailboat and get just about anywhere I want. What I want to take what's on my mind today, I guess, or as we explore the connection between crisis and conflict and improvisation. On my first podcast, I gave you a little background about myself and how these two universes paralleled each other as I was pursuing my journey, and then the correlations between conflict resolution and improvisation. And what we did is really take a look at the similarities when we perform improv and those when we're working through the model of conflict resolution. And one of the first areas that you look at is emotion. And I think if I, you know, in my mind was to take a look at this past year, it would definitely be on many levels an understatement to say it was an emotional year. An emotional year filled with tragedy, with the pandemic that has taken just a record number of lives and caused suffering throughout the world. Emotional with the injustices and the that has been done in the areas of race relations and the need for dignity and respect to be conducted by all. I think that's really important and emotional for those that, because of being isolated, what they have felt, a disconnect with family, friends, school, and just their social activities, which also groom and grow us. And of course, the political unrest that continues throughout the year has contributed to much of this emotion in a year full of crisis. And well, some would say even a year full of chaos. And improv has been described by some of those as controlled chaos. You know, we the actors end up on a stage and receive suggestions from the audience. And based on those suggestions, we put a scene together. And what is important is the scene and the variables, and what goes into making that scene occur are the values that the actors bring to that performance. Mutual values for each other as actors, values around give and take of focus, values around respect, values around receiving and accepting information and moving that information forward. Always putting the scene over the individual. You know, improvisation and improvisational scenes, it's not a genre really for stand-up comedians. You know, stand-up is a whole different talent. It's an extreme talent. In improv, you're really building for the scene, and you're working with other individuals in collaboration to make that scene work. And it's a very unselfish, satisfying art form. And it's one that I was drawn to because of a lot of those reasons. You know, some people will say, geez, you know, if you're in improv, you're funny. If you're in improv, you can be a very good actor, you can be a very good director, and you can be a very good writer. And all of those go into being a part of an improv ensemble and make an improv scene successful. You know, when we look at conflict resolution, the model of conflict resolution, the first step in conflict resolution is working through the emotion, you know, and understanding and being comfortable having that emotion come at us and being comfortable being in that emotion, even an emotion that might be uncomfortable. You know, being in an emotional situation with an individual or individuals naturally may not be comfortable for some, and it's important at that time to be able to disengage and to be able to listen and be able to, just like in an improv scene, build on that emotion. Because throughout that emotion, information is being shared. Now, it's being shared in a way that could be perceived as uncomfortable and threatening and angry, but also it is valuable information. And anger as an emotion is really a probably one of the least dimensional emotions that you're ever going to deal with, but the most intimidating emotion at times. Anger projects out. Anger is not opening up the individual who is projecting the anger. Anger puts up an immediate wall and pushes out that energy and that emotion towards you or towards those that it's being directed at. And at that point, it's really imperative that the individuals that the anger is being directed toward is able to listen to the message behind the anger and not focus on the anger itself, not focus on the emotion itself. That anger will eventually burn out. And when that's left, you have the information. And that's when you can really start identifying the issues of what the conflict is about. And it's really when we start looking at issues where we can move forward in the process to common interests. In an improv scene, we start with emotions. There's usually a situation given to the actors by the audience. The actors immediately create a status, and then there is some type of emotional relationship between the actors based on status. Some actors can be very high status with very low esteem. So you could be the president of the United States, be very insecure, or you could be a custodial in the West Wing and be extremely confident and intellectual. And this holds true in life, too. Always I've found when I meet people in life, it's important to get to know them because you never know anybody's real story. And to just judge people and to put people on pedestals based on their title, I think is a real mistake, and you miss out on a lot in life. Some of the most incredible people that I've known and people who've really helped me and helped others that I know of, I don't even know what their titles were, but I know who they were, and I know the work that they did, and that's what made that important. But getting back to emotion, as we look at emotion and we go into an improv scene and we're focusing on this controlled chaos, you know, this emotion that's driving the scene, again, the actors operate on some principles. They operate on listening. They operate on moving information. They operate on the give and take of focus, all designed to move the scene forward. And when we deal with the emotional aspects of a conflict, we want to get past that too. And if you look at this past year and you look at the emotion around all high emotion, around all of these occurrences of this past year that boiled up like whack-a-mole, every time one boiled up, another boiled up, and the catalyst that fed a lot of these emotions, because there was a catalyst that fed a lot of these emotions. Obviously, the fear around a pandemic, a fear around a deadly disease, is a real valid emotion, and trying to find a way to get to the issue where we can address that and work through that. And then if you have information coming at you that isn't valuable, but you're focused on the emotion and the anger that, you know, you're having certain privileges taken away or certain rights taken away, but you're not focusing on the information during that emotional period, can lead to some bad decisions. The emotion around civil unrest and civil rights, you know, coming to a boiling point after years and years and years of injustice. And it really is, we haven't been heard, and we've been, as groups and individuals in all of these constituencies, feel, and in many cases rightfully so, feel lack of respect, lack of empathy, lack of fairness. And that oil boils out to not having the issues dove down into and taken a look at, and really constantly hovering around that area of emotion. We need to get from emotion to issues. We need to get from emotion to issues. And I believe what we tend to do a lot of times in conflict is spend a lot of time in emotion, because emotion is a comfortable place for a number of people to be, just constantly venting. And then we spend a tremendous amount of time in issues. You know, here's the issues. Here are the issues. Here's what's happening. Where we don't spend a lot of time getting to and really exploring and taking action on are the interests. What are the common interests? Where does all of this lead, and what are the common interests? And that's really where we begin to start seeing some type of collaborative solutions come into play. In an improv scene, as we move forward from emotion and we get to the issue of the scene and we find out the relationship between the characters and maybe some common interests between the relationships of the characters, we're able to move that scene forward to some type of closure. But we have to get to the point where those actors in the scene and those characters in the scene have gotten to a point where the emotion and the issue of the scene has gotten to the interest of the characters. You know, what does each character really want? What does each character really need? What do they need from each other and how can they support each other? And on top of that, how can the actors support the characters that they're portraying in the scene? As we look at conflict resolution on many levels, how do we, once we get to the interest, start that dialogue? You know, I would say that in many cases, in many ways, and if I look even back on this more than difficult, challenging year, many of the interests of respect, mutual respect, caring, support, security, knowing that my family is going to be taken care of by those that I expect to help me survive during a crisis. Those survival and the mutual respect and empathy, those are really the interests that you know, they're driven down from a lot of those issues. And once we identify those interests and we have a true dialogue around those interests, then there's a responsibility to find a way to act on those interests. And in an improv scene, we do that through the scene and through the dialogue and the characters. And in conflict resolution, we do that through several methods of negotiation, conversation, bringing in stakeholders. All of those type of activities help move it forward. And those are some of the parallels between that. As we look at creativity and the emotional piece that creativity plays, if we look at some of the visual art that's done around this and the energy that goes into visual art through pure emotion, it's beautiful and it's bright and it can be really something that's impactful. And where does that come from? That comes from the impact and the emotion and the reaction of the artist and what's influenced the artist. And that can become contagious as it goes into music, as it goes into, again, visual arts, as it goes into the written word. All of these entities start to reflect and start to, in some ways, drive what's happening in the culture at that specific time. And we can, you know, everybody talks about the 60s, but I think the 60s was a prime example of that, where borders were broken down amongst creativity and arts, and it even went into academia. And I believe that we're on the precipice of that again. But getting back to improvisation and crisis and conflict, that's where you really can't plan. You know, you can't go in and a crisis and conflict occur. And when they occur, it's taking the information that we're constantly presented with, starting with the emotion and building on it and being comfortable building on that and being comfortable knowing, I don't know where this is going to go, but I have to trust those. I have to trust those that are involved in this. And I have to be able to trust those to move it forward. And that's really the magic of an improv scene. When you're on stage and you're with a real great group of fellow actors in an improv scene, you feel totally trusted. There's a total amount of trust. Is trusted a word? I don't even know if totally trusted is a word, but there's a tremendous amount of trust up on that stage, and you know that someone's going to catch you and you're going to catch them, and you know you're working for a common goal, and that's really a magical moment, and it's a place where I've always felt most comfortable, being uncomfortable, I guess, for that matter. But it is controlled chaos, and conflict is controlled chaos. What's happening currently is sometimes you have individual who's throwing chaos for the sake of chaos. They want to create chaos just for chaos. They want to derail conversations. They want to draw the attention. They want to take the focus. Just like in an improv scene, actors move and give and take a focus to move the scene forward in nonverbal ways and verbal ways. There's kinds of ways to get the focus of the audience to move the scene forward. And in conflict, there are players who want to create chaos, so the focus is constantly on them. And I believe, you know, I don't want to get too much into the political sphere of things, but I think it's pretty obvious. I believe, you know, our outgoing president does that. I mean, if you look at him, and if he were in an improv scene, he'd be extremely disruptive, and the actors would throw him off the stage and take him out in an alley afterwards. I don't I take that back. But the he'd be fired. But the taking of focus and taking a focus through whatever way he can, and by doing that, he takes the focus off what needs to be done. And sure, this is obvious, and sure, this is something that everybody, most people realize, but it's happening and most people don't act on it. And it takes us away from the interests. We know the issues. Everybody knows the issues. And everybody has, I believe, these common interests of mutual respect, empathy, well-being, making sure that we're all taken care of. And when that focus is intentionally taken away, it can disrupt the process. So what do you do? You know, in an improv scene, if somebody's up there taking the focus, you can, there are things you can do to that character to get them out of the scene. And I think what's really important is where the role of facilitation comes in. And on a larger scale, who's responsible for that facilitation of the message and of the communication? And now I'm talking more about crisis and conflict resolution when it comes to that part of focus and emotion. And who's really accountable for facilitating that activity? Is it the media? The media, of course, is responsible for that. And we have media who supports the chaos, and we have media who attempts to report accurately, and we have media who's swayed for the other way on it as well. And so it's really being someone who's able to understand where the messages are coming from. You know, the medium is the message, to quote Marshall McLuhan, and it's really having an understanding where the message is coming from and what's the purpose of it. You know, what really is the purpose of it? Is it for the best of the organization, of the country, of the individual, or of the individuals that are being served, or is it best for the individual who's creating the chaos? And that's really where the facilitation piece comes in. It's also the responsibility of other individuals involved, other stakeholders who are the message, just, you know, to step forward and be a part of that, so we can get from that emotional piece, we can get from that chaos that is being created, and we can take a look at the issues, which in our case are obvious, and then get down to common interests. And in a conflict, in a crisis, that's the goal, is to get through that. And anyone who, anyone or anything or any group that tries to derail that for their own self-gain or their own self-purpose, it's really imperative that that conflict resolution session is being facilitated in such a way that that information can be identified, directed, and put where it belongs, and that's to the side. Because once again, the resolution of the conflict is what we're looking to achieve. And in improv, it's the successful conclusion of a scene that has value and makes sense. You know, a scene that has some depth to it. And so those are some similarities around motion and chaos, we'll call it, and how we can take a look at chaos. And when it comes to crisis, you know, conflict is when we have entities that just have varying positions, you know, and crisis happens. You know, I'm driving down the road, I'm having a great day, and I get a flat tire, there's a mini crisis. What am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? I don't have a tire in the car, what am I going to do? And that could be, you know, a mini crisis. Or, you know, we're going to the moon and the, you know, the spaceship, part of the spaceship blows up. What are we going to do? How are we going to get back to Earth? That's another crisis. The Attica prison uprising, another crisis. And what do they result in? And how are they handled, those situations? And I think that, you know, crisis into an improv, correlation to improv is where the information is coming at you in a crisis. In conflict resolution, we're making a discovery. In an improv scene, we're making a discovery. We're going from emotion, we're going from issues, we're going to interest, and we're working it towards a consensus, and the same we do in conflict resolution. Crisis, like in an improv scene, information is being presented that you don't know what it's going to be, but it's being presented. And that information has to be honored, respected, and then has to be valued, you know, and has to be affirmed, that information. And as that information is affirmed, then it either develops into something and moves forward, or it can stop. But it's not negated, double negative. That means it's not. We don't negate the information. We move the information forward in a negotiation. Getting comfortable, being uncomfortable in a place where emotion is coming, and then taking in information that we have no idea what it could be, but understanding that we're going to build on that information. And taking a look at all the tools that are made available to us as we're in those situations. Tools around inflection, tools around nonverbal communication, tools around how we interact, and all these variables that come into play are very important in that. And being able to just listen and take a pause. We don't always have to talk, even though I'm doing it right now on this lovely New Year's Eve as we kick off and kick out 2020 and welcome 2021. But I just wanted to share some of that as we're, you know, ending a year like no other, which is true. And then again, really no year is like any other, but this year in a tragic sense has been like no other. And we're moving forward with a lot of hope into 2021. And these podcasts will be continuing. And what really hope to explore is that connection with creativity. And you can see how during even the darkest of times and the most fearful of times, beauty does exist. And if you look at the paintings and the music and the renderings and how people come together during these periods and the hope by a new generation of leaders, I think that we look back when there's a crossroad in time and a tremendous change in time. And I mean, I'm no expert. What do I know? I'm some dude who, you know, does what I do. But that's just what I think. And I really think that this connection between the creative process and this tension between crisis and how that entity works, which is one separate genre, and then the connection between conflict resolution and improv can really help us and help the individuals as we look to move forward into a whole new year and a whole new beginning and a whole new way of doing things. So I want to thank you for checking out my second podcast, Failing Up, because the only way we fail up is to listen. And you know, I hope to hear you on, hope to hear you, I hope you hear me on some more of these. The great thing is you can just turn these off, and it's a great therapy because I don't even know if anybody's listening, but I hope they are. And I just hope, you know, everybody who has uploaded this podcast, listening to me sitting in the basement on the shores of the Seneca River, meandering up to huge Lake Ontario, which feeds the St. Lawrence and out into the mighty Atlantic Ocean. I wish all of you a very, very happy new year